the interpreters of Shabtai Tzvi, particularly Nathan of Gaza, and also someone I'm going to mention a little later on, Abraham Cardoza, begin to write a theology which explains Shabtai Tzvi in the following way. That the Messiah, in order to combat evil, needed to go down to the realm of the Klipa. You recall, if you remember all the Hebrew I gave you in the last lecture, the Klipa is the realm of evil. In other words, using ideas of Lurianic Kabbalah that had been around for 100 years. Notice, therefore, the connection with Lurianic Kabbalah and Sabbateanism, the movement of Shabtai Tzvi. Go down to the Klipa, wrestle evil, and by wrestling it, transforming it into a good. In other words, minus times minus, my math is not very good here, but minus times minus equals plus, right? So in other words, by Shabtai Tzvi doing the quintessential evil act, converting to Islam, leaving Judaism, I mean, from a Jewish point of view, wrestling with evil, living on the outside as a Muslim, but really being a Jewish Messiah at his heart and soul, at his core being, and then ultimately redeeming Israel so that even though he is converted to Islam, he is still the Messiah, say his believers. Now, according to Sholem, there are two ways of dealing with this reality, this kind of betwixt and between reality. In other words, when the Messiah is a Muslim, but he hasn't declared himself publicly the Messiah yet. Either you can continue to practice the norms of Judaism and be a good Jew. In other words, observe what the rabbis tell you, believing in your heart and soul that the Messiah is coming soon, but not doing anything to change anything. Or the messianic behavior becomes an exemplar in your own life. In other words, the difference between what Sholem called a moderate Sabbatean and a radical Sabbatean. Let's talk about the radicals for a second. A group of individuals, by the end, particularly after Shabtai Tzvi died, but even during his long incarceration in prison, he is a group of individuals. A man named Brachia and his disciples decide to convert to Islam. They are called the Donmeh. And this group of individuals, therefore, enter into Islam as Jewish messianic enthusiasts, very strange kind of thing, go underground eventually, but continue to persist in Turkey right up until the 20th century. We have documents from them. There are even Jews today who somehow can trace their ancestry back to these Donmeh. According to the accounts of the 16th century, these people were heretics. They denied all of Jewish law. They did sexual orgies. They did all kinds of very strange, bizarre behavior, like their Messiah, assuming this would bring about the Messianic era. Now, this gets even more bizarre, because later on, into the 18th century, a young man comes down from Poland named Jacob Frank, and he studies with the Donmeh, and decides that he is an incarnation of Shabtai Tzvi himself. And in fact, he has a young woman who is a virgin. Notice the Christian association here, who he also calls a kind of messianic figure as well. She is part of this succession of messianic figures. He goes back to Poland and converts, believe it or not, to Christianity, not to Islam, and with 1,000 of his followers. And he writes a work called The Words of the Master in Polish. He's a Polish Jew. In other words, now we're crossing boundaries between the Ottoman Empire into this large community of Polish Jewry that you will hear about in our next lecture. And Frank declares that everything that the Torah says is wrong and everything I say is right. A kind of totalitarian personality. It's really quite frightening when you read about the Frankists. These are the followers of Jacob Frank. They also are brought before the Inquisition in Warsaw. And they are excommunicated because the Christians don't find this a great gift. Maybe some missionaries had been involved with Jacob Frank and had tried to convert him to Christianity. But when he converted, he was just as heretical as a Christian as he was as a Jew. And therefore, the Frankists, the Donmeh, eventually go underground. And they sort of hide their behavior, but nevertheless, they are there. And they present an enormous threat to the rabbis, who are deeply challenged by this. Who are these people, in the name of the Jewish Messiah, challenging our authority, challenging the conventional norms of Judaism, challenging the rabbis and their ability to define what is Jewish law? In other words, the Sabbatean crisis, which, by the way, is also precipitated by print. I've mentioned print many times here. I mention it again. They circulate all kinds of pamphlets, and there's this war going back and forth between both those in favor of the Sabbateans and those against them. What emerges then is a cultural war and a great feeling of crisis and of insecurity on the part of the rabbinic establishment. Now that more or less is Gershon Scholem's approach. Let us look at some of those historians who have refined and challenged some of the positions. As I said, in all of this history of the Kabbalah, we can't just have one interpretation here. When Scholem died, he was the master. He encouraged, or his death encouraged, so to speak, a group of young scholars to challenge many of these notions, which had really become part and parcel of 20th century scholarship.